Hey guys, what is up? Welcome back to another episode of Farm Sim News with your host, Connor Vogel. In this episode, I will be going over some tips and tricks and how you guys can enter in two of the new giveaways I'm going to be doing. So be sure to stay tuned for all the information you need to know about those. Listen through the entire thing because there's information all over the place. So be sure to listen through the whole thing because you don't want to miss anything about it, because if you do and somehow you get something mixed up, you may not win it when you could have. So be sure to stay tuned and listen for that. So I'm going to be right back after this break. See you then. Okay, guys. So I'm going to be going over a few quick tips and tricks that you can use. So weeds and prevention. Weeding can only be done at the first or second growth phase. If you forget that, your yield will be reduced 20% due to weeds. If weeds have appeared in an uncultivated field, this process will also destroy them. Spraying weeds instead of using weeders will not protect you from the possibility of weeds rising later. So if you spray them, they may come back. So keep that in mind when you are doing your fields in Farming Simulator. And another good thing to know is in the initial process phases of in certain phases of the game, so like let's say I am doing a big field and I'm starting out with really pooey equipment like Case IHs. if I start out with like really pooey equipment and it's not working very well, and I got a big field to do, sometimes it is more worth your money to lease a big tractor and a big cultivator to just get that done, knock it out. Sometimes it's more worth your time to do that than to lease. It depends on how big your field is and how big of a tractor you're trying to lease. So, like, let's say you want to get a big bud tractor. These are 1,100 horsepower tractors, and they're really freaking expensive. But it may be worth the diesel fuel. If you have a big enough field, it might be worth the diesel fuel to get one of the big Borgalt DLC cultivators that are absolutely huge. They're like 100 feet long, 100 feet wide. And sometimes it may be worth the diesel money to just lease a big bud in that or big tractor. So leasing can be used very good, but never ever just lease all your equipment. That it'll get you in a hole and you won't be able to dig it back out, because what happens is for every hour you're on them, you have to pay money for it. So it'll sneak up on you. By the time you realize what's happening, poof, money gone. And the problem with that is your money's gone and you can't sell them now. To sell them, you can't even sell them. You don't get money back. I used to think it was basically where you make monthly, like you make daily payments, and then soon enough you'll own it. No, you're basically renting it. Another thing is how to avoid destroying your crops in your fields. By default, you destroy the plants when you drive on them. This option can be disabled in the game settings, but it's not as fun. Plants do not destroy each other, only in the first stage of growth. So if you have the option of destroying plants enabled, fertilize the field before planting. And in the first phase of growth, only try to weed them. Otherwise, you'll lose part of your harvest. Oh, God. I did not know that, actually. I am reading some fat. I asked some friends to send me in some if they were able to, because I wanted to know some stuff about that. And I did not know that, so that's actually pretty cool. I did fact check all of these with Giant Software earlier, and they said all these are true. Another way, buying fields from other players. Fields that can be purchased on an ongoing basis are cultivated by the AI. Wait for a new plot of land until the crop is harvested. Because then you'll be able to harvest it right away. And that's one of my fastest ways of making money. If you do not have the government subsidy mod installed, which gives you $100,000 for every hour. And so that's always, I use that sometimes. Right now, my current game that I am working on is, I'm starting out, I am basically doing I'm doing a role play with some friends. We're all on Lone Oak. We start out, all of them have been farming for a little bit. We're all basically like kids. And I just inherited an old farm and from my grandpa, and I never knew him in this role play. And so I inherit all this equipment and stuff, and so I start farming on that land. That is my series that I'm ongoing right now. I don't know if I'm going to start posting episodes about that or if I should start a YouTube channel for that, because I feel like that'd be pretty good. But anyways, one of my favorite ways to buy and sell land is to make money off of land is to you buy and sell, you flip the land basically. You wait for it to... So you may have to take a loan out for this, but what you do is you have to have all your equipment ready. And when you find a piece of land that you have the equipment to harvest, you go in, you buy that piece of land, you harvest it all, you get it, sell it all, and then you sell that field right back to the owner, and then you have just made the money without putting in literally any of the work. It's pretty cool. But it's really useful to know. That's a really good tip and trick. If you guys listen to some of my other episodes, you may have known that one already. Another tip and trick that some people asked is, how does the cruise control affect your employees? So if you use cruise control, pay attention, because when you hand over the work to an employee, they'll move at the maximum speed allowed by the cruise control. So if you have the cruise control set at like 2 miles per hour, which I've done, and because I don't know why I said it at 2 miles, it was like, so the machine was able to go 24 and it was 15 miles an hour is what I had it set. And the employee only went 15 miles an hour and the machine can go 24 miles per hour when you're fixing. But sometimes you can use this to your advantage. Like when two different machines are working at different speeds in the field, you can have one. So like, let's say one's going super fast and there's another one that's kind of a little bit ahead of it that's going slower. You can turn that super, super fast one down a little bit so that he's not constantly catching up and stopping, waiting for him, because when they stop, it usually causes you sometimes a little bit more money. So when driving the vehicle with cruise control switched on, you can also use the menu, which, and the vehicle continue to run. So say you have your vehicle, you're just taking a long straight road, you got yourself lined up, so you're not going to go anywhere. And you want to go check out the shop, see if there's any deals or something. You can go into the shop, set your cruise control, and now you'll keep driving, but you can scroll through equipment and to see what it is. And another thing that people don't think about, and this is really, really good. This is really good for when you are harvesting and you want to make some money, a little extra money. There is a way you can make extra money when harvesting grain, which is rye, wheat, barley, or oats. I will tell you that right after this quick commercial break, so stay tuned and stay till the and keep listening all the way through, because I will be giving some more information in this next segment about my giveaways. So be sure to stay tuned. See you then. Okay guys, I am back from the break. So I'm picking up where we left off. So it is not worth wasting straw. That is the one thing that you can really do. I used to think you could only mow the wheat, and I was always like, but I'm wasting so much of the good stuff that I could be making money on. There's a way around that. What you can do is if you take your harvester and turn straw swath on, it holds down your straws, and it lets them go in one big line so that you can go through with either a loading wagon or a baler. And it makes very, very, it's very good because you can make extra money off that. You can sell the bales or straw, plus whatever money you made with the wheat. So that is always useful to know. Sorry guys if you hear any background music. If you hear any background noise, I am a 13-year-old who lives in my house. And I have pets, and I have a brother and a sister and a mom and a dad. And they're all, let's just say, not very quiet. So anyways, sorry about any background noise. I'm a kid, so this isn't going to be perfectly professional, but it'll be nice. And I'll try and keep it as professional as I can. But anyways, if you don't want to collect that, I don't know why you wouldn't. The only reason you wouldn't is because you don't have enough money for the equipment to pick up the straw. So then be sure to turn off the straw swath so that otherwise large piles of straw will block the operation of, so like they'll block and slow down your cultivator by, I think it was like 5 miles per hour. So if you don't want those, be sure to keep that in mind. Teleporting and resetting vehicles. This is a very good thing. So you can use teleportation in this game, kind of. If your vehicle or something overturns and falls over, if you go to the map and you scroll through all your things, you can reset it. But the only problem is if you do reset that, it will get rid of all the things in it. If it's like a trailer or seed drill or something like that, everything in it, poof, gone. And then even in the case of a tractor or combine, you will lose fuel. So be sure to keep that in mind when you do that. In Lone Oak, Stone Valley, and probably some other maps that I don't know about. If you hit reset sometimes, the person will put the reset right at your farm so that basically you can basically have your stuff delivered. One thing you need to do, this is very, 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 very good. And one thing you can do is be sure to pick your tractor and keep an eye on it. So when you're shopping for a tractor, you need to keep an eye on the horsepower, the kind of wheels you have on it, the kilowatts it puts out, the rotation of the PTO. You need to keep an eye on that because that is important stuff. And you also want to make sure you have a tractor that you're not going to be like, oh, it's a Case IH. Sorry, guys, if you are a Case IH fan, I'm a John Deere fan all the way. So I'm sorry, I will make Case IH jokes the entire video. Don't take offense to it if you like Case IH or anything. I'm just joking around. I'm just a John Deere fan. That's how I've been. So anyways, let's say you have, so in my ones, I always make sure to get, so the few basic tractors you'll need is a planter tractor. Those usually are either two-wheel, four-wheel drive. They do not need to be extremely large depending on the size of the seeder. I usually do dually wheels in the back and singles in the front and have the dualies spaced out a little bit so that it's the crop line spacing. So basically it helps keep it widens out the pressure so that you're not crushing the seeds as you do that. And usually those, I put a front weight on those because I usually don't need a front attached. So I usually put a front weight on those and no beacons. Because you don't really ever need the beacons. That's what my planter tractors usually are. I usually also put their horsepower to like a medium engine. So I don't do the smallest engine, but definitely sometimes I'll do the biggest engine depending on the tractor. So if it's a Case IH, I say, can you put like a extra large in there? Extra large engine in there, and if it's a John Deere, I'm like, it'll be fine. I mean, John Deere's can pull pretty much anything. They can pull a Case out of any ditch. But anyways, sorry guys, I'm getting off topic and I'm becoming a goofball. But anyways, I will be making Case IH jokes literally for my entire career of doing this, so sorry about that. But I usually, for my planter tractor, usually get a medium-sized engine because you don't need the largest engine because then you're wasting money. But if you get a small one, you're going to be wasting diesel. So I usually, depending on the size of my planter, sometimes I'll get a really big engine. And depending on the tractor, if, like, depending on what brand, you know, Case IH kind of needs a little boost. But anyways, my cultivating tractor, I usually use a articulated tractor with either dualies with weights or triples with weights. And I usually get the largest engine I can get. The reason for this is with the larger tires, with the big, large tires and wheel weights, it gives your tractor really good traction. So be sure to pay close attention of which wheel brand you use too, because some of them, you want the big, thick, meaty tires. You want the biggest tires you can get on there, and you want the ones with the largest treads, because those will dig into the ground. So you want, and I use the articulated because it really helps make those sharper turns. And so sometimes getting those turns are really hard, so I usually use an articulated because it helps. The wheel weights weigh your wheels down to put them into the soil to make them dig better into the soil. And then I usually get the biggest engine because when you're going up the hills, it's usually really hard on your tractor, and so you want to be able to pull up those huge hills. So, and then I have, after that, I usually get my spraying tractor. Now, some you can use a self-propelled sprayer, or you can use a normal tractor. For those, I recommend doing a front weight if you have one that just hitches on and it pulls it up like a backpack, because pulling that up is going to be really heavy when you fill that up. So I usually, if I'm doing that, I get one of those. And then if I have one that's a pull behind, sometimes I do a front weight. I would recommend doing like a medium front weight for that. Or you can do a front linkage, because then you can have a sprayer on the front and you can have a spreader in the back that spreads solid fertilizer, sprayer in the front. That's something good to know. Always, always, always have the thin tires. That's the most important thing you can do with those, is get the thin tires, because otherwise you're gonna be losing some crops unless you have field destruction off. So be sure to keep those in mind. Those are usually the tractors I used. If I missed one, please let me know. And then sometimes if I'm like in a game where I have a lot of money, I'll usually get like a fun tractor, or a utility tractor is what I call it. I usually get a medium tractor with a front loader, PTO shaft in the front and front linkage. Small wheels, but still not the thins. And I'll usually get big engine, just because I want the ones that are going to be able to handle pulling some of the heavier equipment around to get it out of the garages and stuff. Because sometimes, like, if I have my big old stinking articulated tractor over here, and I got a big old cultivator right here, I can't get the big old articulated in there. So I will have a small utility tractor that's big enough, meaty enough, that strong enough that it can pull it out, and then I can attach that. I also put the front loader on it for kind of, like, if I tip my truck, I can just tip it right back over. So that is that for now. I'm going to be telling you about how to store your yields and stuff like that, but now I'm going to be telling you guys a little bit more about the giveaway. So if we hit 3,000 views in the next 3 weeks, let's say, in the next month, I'll give you guys a month, we get 3,000 views total, you can listen to any episode. Once the total of all the episodes gets up to 3,000 listens, plays, videos, downloads, or whatever, I will be doing a Visa gift card giveaway. So, and this will be to everyone in every country that listens to it, every state. It will come straight in the mail, and I'll tell you guys how you can get that and how you can enter yourself into the competition. I will be doing a little bit easier giveaway here soon. If this episode in 2 weeks gets 500 listens, I will do a $50 Xbox giveaway card to only people in the United States. As of right now, it'll be a $50 Xbox gift card. And I will be sending that to you with my personal, as my personal thank you for getting views and for listening to the channel. All you guys, anyone who enters the competition has a chance. I'll be telling you how to enter that in the next section. So be sure to stay tuned. See you then, right after the break.